Welcome to The Rock. Tonight we are starting a new series on marriage and family called Family United. It's a three-week series focusing on what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about marriage and raising children. We'll have lots of Bible verses, lots of fill-in-the-blanks, lots of application, and I'm praying that this series will encourage and help you and your spouse to become better at this family thing. If you're single, don't check out and stop coming to church for 3 weeks, all right? There's plenty of application in this series for single men and women to use in their relationships with friends and family and coworkers and neighbors. So don't check out. Instead, take notes. Maybe take the most notes if you're single, because one day all of this information may come in very handy. Like I said earlier, or like Tony said earlier, I don't typically teach at this location because at the beginning of the year, Brian, Josh, and I pulled about 90 core people out of this location. We went and planted a church in Taylorsville. I did get saved in this church. I love this building. I love this church. I love these guys. I got saved right over here about 10 years ago. I think exactly to the day, maybe even. So 10 years ago, I became a Christian right over here. Yeah, that's exciting. There are a lot of new faces since we left. I don't know a lot of you, so that's kind of scary. It's pretty cool. It's really encouraging to see so many new people. So I'll just kind of introduce myself, if that's all right. My name is Billy Johnson. I am an electrician by trade. Actually, earlier today, I was doing electrical support for an underground tunnel. They're rehabbing an underground tunnel at Kennecott Copper Mine, so that's where I was. If you hear me honk three times before I back up, that's a mine thing, and if you see me dressed like a crossing guard, that's why. So I've been married to my wife, my beautiful wife Ashley, for 8 years next month, exactly 1 month. 8 years, how about that? We have four amazing kids. They range from 1 year old to 6 years old. They're amazing, we love them so much. And in our 8 years of marriage, I've learned that a good marriage doesn't just happen. A good marriage it doesn't just happen. It actually takes a lot of work. I've learned how important it is to be on the same page with Ashley, with my wife, and how important it is to have a game plan. Since a good game plan is essential to being united, it seems fitting to call the first message in this series Game Plan. I'm sure if you have handouts at the top of your handout. Sometimes it's just human nature to build up a tolerance to discomfort and to pain. We may think everything is fine as long as we feel like we're not in imminent danger, as long as we feel like we're safe. You guys know what I mean? We've all had a physical ache or a pain that we just kind of learned to ignore. I was on a prayer walk with one of you guys' deacons, Tim, and he's a physical therapist, and he was telling me about some muscle aches and pains, and he said that a lot of times they don't fix themselves. They don't go away. You just learn how to deal with them. We learn how to deal with it so much that we stop worrying about it. We become indifferent or even oblivious to it, when in reality we haven't fixed the problem. We just know how to deal with the pain, right? I have one friend. He used to go to the Westside Church. He plays professional soccer. He's on the Salt Lake Monarchs on that team. And he was telling me about it a couple of months ago. He was at practice, and he noticed his leg started to hurt. And he went and he thought it was just a bone bruise. So he played on it for about a month. And then he went and got it checked out by a professional. He ended up having a fractured bone in his leg, which is a big deal for a soccer player, right? That's his job, to kick things hard. He took it seriously, got it professionally taken care of, so he could continue to play soccer. Now, I'm no bone doctor, but I'm pretty sure that if he would have kept playing on his broken leg, he wouldn't be playing professional soccer much longer. And there's definitely a tendency to look at our marriages like this, isn't there? We can be tempted to say, we're okay, I don't want to go live on the roof tonight, so we're good enough. Like I said, we can just ignore it so much that we stop working at it. We can become indifferent. We can become lazy about how our marriage is going, when in reality, we aren't fixing the problems. We're just temporarily dealing with them. We're keeping the peace. We rip off some duct tape and say, good enough. Men and women, this is not the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with your spouse. This is not the marriage that God intended for you. Women, did you know that God tells your husband to love you like Christ loves the church? Did you know that? How's he doing? Men, how are you doing with that? How are you doing compared to Jesus? This should be a wake-up call for all of us, right? We should take this very seriously. God wants you and your wife to be united. He tells you to serve her and love her like he loves and serves the church. For some of us, maybe it's just this big blind spot in this area. Maybe it's been so long that you don't even recognize the symptoms of an unhealthy marriage anymore. Well, here's a list of 10 clues that you and your spouse aren't united in your marriage. Number one, you can't seem to talk to your spouse without yelling. Can't seem to talk with your spouse without yelling. Every time you guys have a conversation, it just ends up being a shouting match. She fires a bullet at you, and instead of catching it and setting it down, you fire one back at her, and it just turns into this big hurting match. Anything your spouse says to you gets masterfully turned into a conversation about something that happened in the past. Maybe it's an argument you had earlier. You can't seem to talk to your spouse without yelling. Second clue, the flame of intimacy has long since been snuffed out. Maybe it's been weeks, months. Maybe it's been years since you and your spouse have participated in God's gifts that comes in the form of intimacy. It's a big deal, guys. God commands you and your spouse to be intimate. Third clue, you describe your marriage as just existing together. Pretty much just roommates at this point, right? You don't eat my food, I won't eat your food. This is my bank account, this is your bank account. I see houses now being sold that have two master bedrooms, a his and a hers master bedroom. That is not going to help you be united with your spouse. You describe your marriage as just existing together. Fourth clue, you wonder what you ever saw in this person. This one's heartbreaking. Sadly, there are lots of marriages out there where this is a real question in the marriage. What did I ever see in you? Number five, you sometimes go days or weeks with unresolved anger. In your minds, what this person has done to you is so terrible that forgiveness just isn't an option. It's just not. You hold grudges against one another. Christian, this isn't healthy. God commands you to forgive. He forgave you, and he commands you to forgive. Number six, you often give your spouse the silent treatment or withhold good from them when you are angry. If you're married, this could be in the form of serving. You're mad, so you don't do the dishes. You don't do the trash. You don't pick up around the house. You don't pick up after yourself. Or you can come in the form of sex. You withhold sex from your spouse. Give them the silent treatment. Number seven, you don't have anything to talk about when you're alone. We got this gift card for Christmas, and we just got to use it before it expires, so we're going to go to the Cheesecake Factory and not say a word to each other. I've got a suggestion. If this is you, I've got a suggestion. So, husband, during that silent time, ask your wife a question. It seems silly. Ask her a question. And then wife, answer his question. And then you ask him one. And then just keep doing that back and forth. And before you realize it, you'll be in a conversation. This really happened to me. I was working with a guy. I worked with him. I think we were working crazy hours. I think it was 91-hour weeks. We worked 2 weeks straight. He'd hop in the work truck. We'd work all day, work all night, whatever. And he didn't ask me a single question. He didn't ask me one question. I'd kind of lead the conversation trying to, because I noticed it. And I started thinking, why isn't he asking me questions? So I kind of started to lead the conversation and say, oh, man, I'm so excited about tonight, you know, and try to act excited. And he'd just go, yep. Just keep driving the truck, looking at him like, you are Fort Knox. There was nothing to talk about. We had nothing to talk about. There was more silent time than conversation. Ask a question. Eight, you are connecting emotionally and or physically with someone of the opposite sex that is not your spouse. Maybe it's an old relationship. It was rekindled on Facebook or Twitter. Maybe you're looking at pornography Maybe you take the long way around the office to get to the water cooler so you can see that person and have an interaction with that person who's not your spouse. If this is you, you need to stop right now. You need to stop right now. Because you are about to shipwreck your life and break many, many hearts on the way. Ninth clue. You are only staying together for the sake of the kids. This one is tragic, but it's really common. You hear this one a lot. We're staying together for the sake of the kids. It's kind of strange because the relationship didn't start out for the sake of the kids, I'd assume. This is you. You're missing out on such a great relationship. You have such a great friend in your spouse. Tenth and final clue that you may not be united in your marriage. You often threaten to divorce during your arguments. You often threaten to divorce during your arguments. Do you use the D word when you argue with your spouse? You threaten divorce? Before my wife and I were married, we set some ground rules when it came to fighting. And one of our ground rules was that we would never, ever threaten or talk about separation or divorce when we fought. Because it's not an option. If you often threaten to divorce during your arguments, you're probably not united in your marriage. If these describe you or your marriage, there's a good chance you may not be united with your spouse. And if this is you, God wants to rescue you from this. God wants to rescue you from this. In his word, the Bible has answers. It's a survival guide for life and for love, and especially in your marriage. Okay, God loves you. He wants what's best for you. Whenever I'm counseling someone in their marriage, there are two things that I need to know. Number one, are they a Christian? Number two, are they willing to read the Bible and do what it says? Are they willing to read the Bible and do what it says? If not, I can't help them. I can't help them. Not only because I don't have the time to help someone in this area who is neglecting the single most important and effective tool in fixing their marriage, but also because if they're not under God's authority and or they won't do what the Bible says, I've got nothing. I'm nobody. If they're not willing to listen to God's word, they're definitely not willing to listen to me. God has given us an incredible resource for our marriage in his word. Are you willing to listen to it? Are you willing to do what he says? We need to keep in mind that great marriages don't just happen. Like I said earlier, we need to be proactive. We need to be deliberate. We need to be intentional in our marriages. We can't be afraid of hard work. We can't be afraid of some forgiveness. Hopefully this game plan in the handout that I have 10 game changers. In your handout, there are some blanks. Hopefully this is helpful to you in your marriage. So please fill the blanks in. Take notes. I don't know where your marriage is at today. Your marriage may be incredible. Your marriage may be perfect. Your marriage may not be. It could be a wreck. But whoever you are married to today, that is the person that God has for you. And what God has joined together, let not man separate, right? Maybe your marriage is a train wreck and you were drugged here tonight by your spouse, kicking and screaming. Maybe you're thinking, I don't need any help. I'm in control. I can fix this myself. Just leave it alone. Well, if this is you, I'd ask you, for starters, to curb your pride for the next about 30 minutes to listen to what God has to say about this. And then I would ask you to curb your pride for the rest of your life and become a Christian and follow Jesus. Maybe your marriage is falling apart and you're in denial. Maybe you're thinking, this is what marriage is supposed to be like, right? There's no need to worry. It's not so bad. After all, we're better than those guys. Maybe your marriage is falling apart, and your reaction to this whole introduction is to be humble. Maybe in your mind you're saying, I'm not united to my spouse, and I need help. I haven't been the best husband or wife. I need this. This is you. This is smart. This is how we should approach Scripture, with humility. You've come here to learn whatever it is that God has for you, and you're ready to obey his word. Soak it up and become the best husband or wife you can be. And if this is you, God will meet you where you are. He will. I know he will. And I trust that he will teach you something tonight. If you're single, this might help you the most. Wouldn't it be amazing to go into your marriage with some biblical information, some great ways to apply it? If you're single, I challenge you to be creative and pulling out applications from this teaching. Like I said earlier, how about you guys be the ones who write the most? Pull out application wherever you can and come show it to me afterwards. It'll be a fun action challenge. Let's pray, and then we'll look at 10 marital game changers, 5 for women and 5 for men. Father God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the instruction that you give us in your word and the institution of marriage, the beautiful picture of marriage that you give us in your word, Lord, with Christ and his church. We're all over the board tonight in our marriages, but we admit that wherever we are, we all need you, Lord. We need you to teach us what it means to be united. God, I pray that you would speak through me and give us the grace and power to take our marriages seriously. I pray that you would give us the grace and power to be the best spouses we can be. I pray that you would soften our hearts toward you and one another. Help us to understand your love and grace and forgiveness in a more powerful way tonight. We love you, Lord. We commit the rest of this series and the rest of this night to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, ladies first. 5 marital game changers for women. Y'all have your pens ready? The Bible speaks a lot to women. It gives a lot of wisdom to women, especially in the area of marriage and the home. I love what Proverbs 14 says. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. It's great imagery of how important a woman is to her household, how much influence she has in the home. The wise woman builds her home. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Women, if you want to build your house, if you want to be an amazing wife to your husband, pay attention to what God has said in his word, and he will give you this wisdom and understanding that this verse is talking about. Game changer number one. Here we go. It's the first blank in your handout. Make respecting him your top priority. Make respecting him your top priority. Ephesians 5:33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. To respect means to have esteem for, or to have a sense of the worth of a person. Women, you may not know this, but your husband's deepest desire is unconditional respect. His deepest desire is unconditional respect. Obviously, women need to be respected also, but there is something about a man deep inside of him that just longs to be respected. I can tell you firsthand that if a dude respects another dude, those dudes become BFF material pretty quick. But when someone disrespects a man, it's so offensive that oftentimes you see grown men throw fits like little kids. You see them get red in the face. Their hearts start beating hard. They start pacing around. They start saying things like, "You want to take this outside?" We create things like WWF wrestling so that we can see disrespect played out to its logical end. I'm serious, though. I lost hours of sleep one night over being disrespected by a guy at Walmart because he didn't think I was pushing the cart fast enough. I was laying in bed thinking, I should have said this. I should have said that. I should have done this. What would I have done if you would have done that? Men, you know exactly what I mean, right? If it's that offensive to be disrespected by a stranger at a grocery store, how much more painful is it to be disrespected by the person who is nearest and dearest to him? By the person he cares most about in the entire world? Women, Don't emotionally castrate your husband by disrespecting him. Make respecting him your top priority. Because besides dwelling on the fact that he is made in the image and likeness of God himself, nothing gives a man more sense of value and security than knowing that the woman he loves has unconditional respect for him. Ephesians says to let the wife see that she respects her husband. One way of disrespecting him is by not letting him lead your family. By not trusting him to make big decisions or have the final say. Women, God has made your husband responsible for your family. And ultimately, what this means that the blood is on his head for the decisions that he makes for your family. Look at Adam and Eve. Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And who did God hold accountable? Adam. Eve was deceived and she ate the fruit. She gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it too. The Bible tells us that in Adam, all died. In Adam, all died. That decision affected every single generation after them. And the blood is on his head. Another way women can disrespect their husbands is by making big decisions without his input. Making some big investments or some large purchases. Maybe it's doing a home remodel without even talking to him about it. My wife and I were talking to a woman one time, and we were talking about DIY stuff. And she told us a story about how her husband went out of town on a business trip, and I don't know if she watched DIY Network or something, but she got this crazy idea to start tearing down walls in their house without even talking to him about it. And admittedly, she didn't know what she was doing. When her husband came home, he was upset. Not only because he had to re-sheetrock the entire living room, but because he felt like he didn't even get a chance to talk to her about it. Man, would you feel disrespected if this were you? Would you feel out of the loop in your own home? Probably the most common way a wife can disrespect her husband is by speaking poorly of him, by belittling him, degrading him, speaking down to him. By speaking poorly of him to family members or friends or coworkers about things that should be kept between the husband and wife. My first question is for the ladies. If your friends only knew your husband by what they heard you say about him, what would they think? What is the picture that your friends paint in their minds about your husband by what you say about him? Do you respect him? Make respecting him your top priority. Moving on, number two. Give up on your quest for a perfect marriage. This may sound harsh, and I'm not encouraging you to settle for a broken marriage or a bad marriage or even an okay marriage. That's not what I'm saying. The whole purpose of this series is to encourage you and to build you up in your marriage, to encourage you to have an excellent marriage. What I am saying is that Romans 3 tells us that everyone is sinful. They all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all do dumb things. We all make bad choices. So to require a perfect marriage of your husband, it's just unrealistic. We all go through hard things in our marriages. But as Christians, we have to forgive one another, and we need to move on. John 16:33. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. By God's grace, he has overcome the world. And the effects that the world has on us, and the effects that the world has on our marriages. He has given us the divine gift of forgiveness. And he has given us the divine ability to forgive those who sin against us. I like this quote. Marriage doesn't create problems. It reveals problems that were never solved before marriage. Marriage is very refining. It takes your sin and it puts it right in front of your face. That's what it does. By God's grace, we can solve problems in our marriages. We can move forward in faith that God will turn it into something amazing. And maybe your marriage is the worst marriage that you've ever heard of, ever. I trust that God can fix that. Imagine the testimony that you could have a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road when you're having coffee with the guy and he's telling you about how bad his marriage is. Imagine the impact that you can have on that guy's life with your testimony. If your marriage is terrible, it's not too terrible for God to fix. I read something in a book years ago that stuck with me through the years. I think it was that book, Every Man's Battle. The author said something like, have you ever noticed that nobody sells a perfect product? Nobody advertises a perfect product. They advertise them as amazing or excellent, but they don't ever advertise them as perfect. It's because nobody can offer a perfect product, right? In the same way, we can't offer a perfect marriage, but we can sure serve each other and try to make it as amazing and excellent as possible. With God's help, an amazing and excellent marriage is possible. The only perfect product is Jesus Christ. Single folks, this could apply to your relationships also. If your friend isn't giving you a perfect relationship, a perfect friendship, how about you love them through it? Be a Christian. Show them mercy. Show them grace. Show them love. Show them forgiveness. Show them what that looks like. Number three, stop trying to change your husband by nagging. Waiting to get something thrown at me right now. Women, I promise you that no amount of nagging that you could ever do can make your husband into what you want. I promise you. He will either retreat and become hostile, or he'll just tune out completely. But he will not change. You might be smarter than your husband. You might be better with money than your husband. You might be better in difficult situations than your husband. But there is a better and more effective way to communicate with him than treating him like a 5-year-old child. Look how Samson felt when Delilah nagged him in Judges. And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. That's in the Bible. I like how the NIV says it. It says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. She wore the dude out. This is the strongest man. Maybe your husband isn't a Christian, and you really, really, really want him to become a Christian. Well, amen. Praise God. That's very noble, admirable. We would all like to see him become a Christian, right? But Peter has some advice for you. He says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Women, you can still have a high standard and not nag. If any woman in the Bible has a reason to nag, it was Sarah, Abraham's wife. He basically gave her away twice. And instead of arguing with him, she respected her husband. And she trusted that God would work through his bonehead moves. She trusted that God would deliver them. That's faith. Number four, give praise and affection instead of demanding it. Give praise and affection instead of demanding it. Wives, you should be your husband's biggest fan. Are you? Are you your husband's biggest fan? I love it when my wife compliments me. When I was preparing this sermon, I was working at a warehouse somewhere, and I was doing this really gnarly job. It was really gross. I won't go into it. I have it right here. It's written down, but I won't say it. And she came and she met me for lunch, her and the kids, and she was asking what I was doing. I told her, and she just looked at me with this disgusted look on her face, and she said, not many people would do that. Thanks for being such a hard worker. That made my day. I love it when she tells me that she's happy she married me. when she tells me that I'm doing a good job with the kids. I was pulling wire through dead mice. Mouse bones everywhere. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Build your husbands up, wives. Build your husbands up. Bill Young said, "Don't rag on your husband, brag on your husband." This verse applies to all of us. Men, women, married or single, we can all obey and apply this verse to our lives. Last one, number 5, and it's the men's turn. Willingly unite your heart, body, and soul. Willingly unite your heart, body, and soul. Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." When my father-in-law, Jack, walked my wife down the aisle, Steele, the pastor who married us, he asked, "Who gives this woman to this man?" Jack, in his loud army man voice, said, "Her mother and I do." He gave her away to me. Her dad gave her away. This meant she didn't just have to move out of her parents' house and move in with me, but she had to leave her parents. She had to leave them emotionally, and she had to be completely entrusted to me. But she still has a great relationship with her parents, don't get me wrong. But here Jesus is quoting Genesis 2:24. He said that they are no longer two, but they are one. I like this quote from Thomas Adams. He said, "As God, by creation, made two of one, so again, by marriage, he made one of two." I like that. If you've ever stuck two pieces of duct tape together and tried to get them back apart, you know that there is absolutely no way you're going to get those pieces of tape apart, right? It's just not going to happen. Once those two pieces become one, they stay one. You'll destroy the tape before you get it apart. And this is what God wants for our marriages. He wants us to be so committed to one another that no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, nothing will be able to get us apart. We're impossible to separate. That's God's plan for your marriage. Women, have you united your heart, body, and soul to your husband? Or are there things you're keeping from him? This reminds me of a story that Bill Young told about a newlywed girl. This new bride was talking to her dad on the phone about this fight that her and her new husband had just been into, and she just said, "Dad, I just want to come home." She was frustrated with the marriage. She said, "I just want to come home." The dad replied by telling the daughter, "You are home." This is a wise father. This father is setting his daughter's marriage up for success. If you're a parent, there's a lot to be learned here from this story, isn't there? Don't set your kids' marriage up for failure by letting them slander their spouse or gossip about their spouse to you. Definitely don't be an accomplice to a pointless and unnecessary divorce that could have been avoided with some forgiveness and with some hard work. All right, men. Gird your loins. Listen carefully. Here are 5 marital game changers for men. 1 Peter 3:7. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." Live with your wives in an understanding way. We need to be lifelong students of our wives. We need to have a passion for understanding them. Are you passionate about understanding your wife and living with her in an understanding way? This means understanding what makes her feel loved. This means understanding what she likes and what she hates. This means knowing how she fights. Does she want to resolve it right there, right now? Or is she the kind of person that has to take a walk and cool down before she can resolve it? Learn your wife. Be a student of your wife. We need to study our wives. First marital game changer for men. Make loving her your top priority. Make loving her your top priority. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We talked about how a man's deepest desire is unconditional respect, right? Well, men, your wife's deepest desire is unconditional love. Your wife needs to know that no matter what, you will love her. She needs to know that you will never leave her, that you will never cheat on her, and that you will love her more than anybody else in the entire world can. She needs to know that you make it a priority to love her. Our wives and our kids should know that our priorities are in this order: God, our wives, our kids, everything else. Are those your priorities? Sometimes when I come home from work, my kids all come running to me for hugs. If Ash is standing close by, I'll tell the kids to wait. I'll say, hold on, mom first. I'll give Ashley a hug first. They know that Ashley is priority. They know that I love them completely, but they know that their mom gets a hug first. She needs to know without a doubt that you love her. You need to make sure that we are listening to our wives. Everything that I've learned about loving my wife, I've learned by listening to her. We need to listen to our wives. You need to know that you are responsible for her and for the condition of your marriage. Did you hear that? Men, you are responsible for the condition of your marriage. You might be saying, that's not fair. It's 50-50 in my house. What does that say? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's what it says in the Bible, right? God's word. That's what God tells us to do. So pop quiz, hot shot. What did Jesus do to deserve death on that cross? Nothing. He did absolutely nothing wrong to deserve death on that cross. And what did we do to deserve Christ's love? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Jesus did nothing to deserve death on that cross, but he loved us so much that he paid the price for us, his church, his bride, so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could be redeemed. He took responsibility for our sins, even though they were not his problem whatsoever. He took responsibility because he loves us. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men, you are held responsible, so love your wives unconditionally, even when she doesn't deserve it. Question for you men. How would the church look if Jesus loved the church like you love your wife? How about this? How would the church look if Jesus only loved the church like you love your wife? On the flip side, what kind of shape would your marriage be in if you loved your wife like Jesus loves the church? If Jesus were to replace you in your marriage for 8 hours one day, what would he do differently in your house? My wife and I got sucked into this reality TV show called Celebrity Wife Swap. Basically, it's exactly what it sounds like. This wife goes to live with this family for a couple of days, and this wife goes to live with this family for a couple of days, and they hate it at first because everything's different, but then it's time to enforce their rules, right? So then they get to whip that family into shape. Celebrity Wife Swap. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you find it, it's pretty entertaining. What would Jesus do in your home if you swapped places with him? You come into your house, and would he change the kids' diapers quicker than you? Without complaining? Would he play with them more? Would he do things around the house, like the dishes, without complaining? I can guarantee that he would listen to your wife and respond to her worries and concerns with biblical counsel. What would Jesus do in your house? Think about that and do it. Think about that and do that. Be Jesus to her, man. Second game changer. Dare to communicate praise and show affection. This one's kind of hard for me. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Man, when is the last time you praised your wife? When is the last time you gave her praise? When is the last time you spoke graciously to her? As guys, we sometimes have a hard time expressing affection. I know for me, I feel kind of silly when I'm doing something romantic. I feel out of my element. I go to buy her flowers, and I'm walking through the grocery store, like, holding these flowers all tough, you know, like, hold them tough. So I just feel silly. It's uncomfortable for me. But it's worth feeling a little silly to make her feel like $1 million. Let's grow up. Let's romance our wives. They do so much for us and so much for our families. Let's tell our wives how amazing of a job they're doing, because they are doing an amazing job. You single people, this can apply to you also. It can apply to everybody. Don't be afraid to praise others for a job well done. If your coworker gets a promotion, are you happy for them? Are you congratulating them and praising them for it? Or are you thinking that should have been you? Third, listen. Don't try to solve every problem. Generally speaking, men tend to be fixers, right? The problem with that is we're so focused on fixing the problem that we don't listen. We miss how our wife is feeling about this situation. We miss her heart. Our Bibles have some things to say about speaking too quickly. Proverbs 18, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. You're acting like a shameful fool if you answer her before you listen. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Listen to your wives, men. Sometimes my wife wants me to fix it, but other times she just wants to share how she's feeling with me. She just wants me to listen. We got a little video clip here. It's pretty short. I think it's funny, so go ahead and play that.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep...
She just wanted to be validated, right? Our wives want to know that they're validated. They want to know that no matter what, that we're on their team. I like that. All right, moving on, number four. Avoid harsh criticism, man. Avoid harsh criticism. Are you in the habit of using harsh words? Proverbs 51, or 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you're after this, if you want this, if you want a family who is afraid of you, a wife who is distant, a house full of fighting, bitterness, and anger, criticize your wife. Speak harshly to her. Criticize and speak harshly to your wife and your kids. I reminded of that scene in It's a Wonderful Life where George comes home, and he's upset, and he's really angry, and he starts getting frustrated with everything. He's frustrated with the kids. He's frustrated with his wife. He said, "What do we have all these kids for?" And he's frustrated about the piano. He's yelling at the kids. He's yelling at the teacher on the phone. He's mad about the stairs thing. Remember how all the kids react? They're all afraid of him. They all start crying. Sure, we all get frustrated with things. It's human nature. We all get frustrated with things, but we must not get into the habit of criticizing our wives. This is the men's equivalent to nagging, but much, much more harmful. If we constantly criticize and speak harshly to our wife and our kids will eventually start to do the same. Our wives will despise us. Our kids will start to speak harshly to each other, speak harshly to her, speak harshly to you. Speak harshly to the other kids. I have an acquaintance who had a baby. And her husband, he had all of these rules for her during her pregnancy. He had rules about how much weight she could gain during her pregnancy. And a timeline and deadlines for weight loss after the baby. It's one of the most ridiculous, cruel things I've ever heard. I highly doubt that that woman felt like Christ, or that that man loved her like Christ loves the church. Speak kindly to your wife and do not criticize her. Really appreciated this quote from Matthew Henry. He said, "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved." Number five. Remember the little things. Do you tell your wife you love her when you leave the house? Do you help her carry in the groceries? Do you take out the trash? Do the dishes? Do you encourage her to do the things that you know she enjoys doing, but she doesn't get to do because she's so busy with the house and the kids and with everything else that this life can throw at us? You encourage her to do the things that she likes to do. You remember the special days? This one's convicting for me because I hate that feeling of blowing it on one of these special days. Mother's Day, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, Christmas, birthdays. I hate blowing it on those days. It's not that I forget that the day is coming. I'm pretty good with remembering dates. But I'm horrible at remembering to plan the things that it takes to make those days special. I've just recently started to put reminders in my phone for a week before the special day, the day before the special day, and the day of the special day, because I got sick of feeling like I was blowing it. I think we could all use help remembering the little things that make our wives feel special. And if it takes a cell phone to remind you to do that, by all means, do it. There are lots and lots of little things that you can do to remind your wife that you love her. Know your wife. Know what makes her feel special. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Learn your wife and find out what's important to her and then do those things. Martin Luther, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." That's a brain buster. Read it twice. "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let him make her sorry to see him leave." if you're here tonight and you feel like your marriage is failing, or if you feel like your marriage is stagnant, I encourage you to start reading the Bible and start doing what it says and seeing for yourself what God has to say about marriage. He wants to rescue you and your spouse from this hard time in your marriage, and his word has the answers. I'm confident that his word has the answers. If you're not a Christian or you don't have a Bible, I'd love to talk to you. Come say hi. I can get you a Bible. We have free Bibles back there. We'll give it to you. Come back next week. Josh Whitney will be teaching part two of our Family United series. So I'll pray, and we can hang out. Jesus, thank you for setting the example for our marriages. Thank you for loving us and for laying down your life for us when we were completely, completely undeserving of your love. God, I pray that you would help us to love our wives like we should. I pray that you would help the women to respect their husbands. God, you fixed so many broken marriages that it's all a glory to you, Lord. Marriages that a lot of people thought were hopeless. You fixed them, Lord. You've used them to encourage other marriages. I pray that you would do that in this room tonight, Lord. If there are any marriages that are in a hard place, I pray that you would give them grace. Lord, I pray for the rest of this series. I pray that you would speak through Brian and speak through Josh, and that we could all just learn something from this series and be encouraged. I pray that you would help us all to be better spouses, better disciples of you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I say these things in your name.